are going to be taking news off of our LinkedIn page today. So hopefully you guys have followed us on LinkedIn so far as well. If you haven't already, please go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn. We'll leave a link in the description below. And so you guys can take all the tech news that you would need from our LinkedIn pages as well as our other social media pages as well. And if you guys haven't followed us already on podcast too, so say if you're on the way to work, you're on the way to a workout, you're working out in the morning, and you want to listen to our tech news channel as well, go ahead, follow us. Our tech news channel called Electronic News Network. We're available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify as well. All right, so without further ado, let's get started, guys. All right, so today we're going to be talking about revamped Google TV app can soon work as a remote control code, right? So the Android Google TV app could soon be getting a built-in remote control for Android TVs, XDA developer reports, right? So the unreleased feature was discovered in the code for version 4.25 of the Android app. Enabling the feature reveals an apparently unfinished interface built around a large D-pad, right? So, and the option to pair the app with the Android TV device is using a four-digit PIN. So this is a pretty interesting feature that the Google TV app allows, right? So if you have that on your Android phone, it looks like you can use that now kind of as like a remote control, right? So that's really, really cool by Google allowing this feature to happen, right? So if you want to learn more about this feature too, go ahead, please follow us on our LinkedIn page, click into the article, and you can learn more. Moreover, guys, all right, news on AOL. So watch out for AOL, guys. If you're still using AOL, which is the email service, watch out for this type of phishing scam, guys. So a not so novel phishing scam is targeting AOL users into submitting their authentication information in the garb of keeping their account active. So details about the scam were revealed by Bleeping Computer after an email received by a couple of their relatives who were longtime AOL users raised red flags. Unless you verify this account, it will be closed in 72 hours, warns the unimaginative phishing email, right? So which features official looking AOL imagery and language. So definitely be careful of that email, guys. So if you received an email along the lines of, unless if you verify your account, it will be closed in 72 hours. Please, guys, do not click on the link. Don't move forward with that type of email. It looks like this could be just definitely a phishing scam. So if you put any information or even if you click the link, that is not going to be good for your account, right? So even if you did that, say by accident, I would probably even close that account that you did do it with, even if it's a personal one, just to stay on the safe side. Maybe delete that account, start off a new account from AOL, or you could probably switch to another email service provider like Google or Yahoo as well too, guys. All right. Moreover, guys, more on privacy, right? So free speech app Gab allegedly was hacked. So 70 gigabytes of data and millions of posts were stolen, right? So a member of popular whistleblowing group has claimed to have broken into controversial social network Gab and extracted over 70 gigabytes of user data. In an interview, Emma Best, the founder of the Distributed Denial of Secrets, DDDOS Secrets Group, stated that the hacktivist, who self-identifies as JAXPARO or Jax Paro, and My Little Anonymous Rival Project, claims to have exploited an SQL injection vulnerability in an alternative social networks database to their hands on the data, right? So if you're using Gab, guys, please be careful. It looks like that, yes, these guys people were able to infiltrate this application, unfortunately. So, you know, if you're using this app, please, you know, check up on your information, check, you know, everything personal about you, as you know. But maybe you'd want to refrain from using this type of app, or maybe try to use an alternative app for the app called GAB, right? So we know this is why we come out, you know, to you guys about this information as well too, so you guys can have the best you know, type of information to protect yourself, right? There's, again, lots of phishing scams, lots of scams out there. We don't want you guys to be falling victim as well too. All right, so moreover, guys, this new jailbreak threat could put nearly all iPhones at risk. So hackers have released a new jailbreaking tool for virtually all models of the iPhone by exploiting a now fixed vulnerability. So as with all jailbreaking tools, and just a step aside, guys, jailbreaking, if you guys don't know what jailbreaking is when you're trying to not hack into your phone, but you're trying to enable more features on your iPhone than it is currently operating on. So usually, some people would usually, even back in the day, people would jailbreak their PlayStation Portable. I remember I had friends that used to jailbreak their PSP or try to jailbreak their iPod Touch so they can have more applications for free, right? So once you start jailbreaking, you're kind of not in incognito mode, but you're more, you have more options in terms of what types of apps you can download. Jailbreak mode, you probably can download certain types of apps for free that you'd need to usually pay on the App Store, right? So as with all jailbreaking tools, this new version published by the Serial Jailbreaking Hacking Syndicate Uncover allows users to break through Apple security controls, usually in order to install apps that haven't been approved by the company. Right, so interestingly, the latest tool makes use of the kernel vulnerability tracked as CVE-2021-1782, which Apple fixed last month with the release of iOS 14.4. Right, so definitely watch out for jailbreaking tools, guys, especially if you're looking to jailbreak your iPhone. It's another way in which hackers can get onto your device. And personally, I don't really jailbreak anything. Maybe when I was younger, I tried to jailbreak my PlayStation Portable for sure. Me and my other friends, because you can get free games pretty much and you can do a lot more. But jailbreaking a phone or jailbreaking an Android or an iPhone is not high on the bucket list right now. And again, it does run with some risk, right? You have to download a software in order to jailbreak your actual device. And these softwares too could be coded, you know, they could be made and created from hackers, and you know, they could be coded with software that could inject your phone. So you guys just gotta be careful if you're looking to jailbreak your new phone, right? Moreover, guys, we also have news on Google Workspace, right? So Google Workspace is getting a major overhaul for the post-pandemic world, guys. Google has unveiled a wide-reaching overhaul to Google Space, and previously G Suite, its suite of productivity and collaboration tools, in preparation for the rise of hybrid working once the pandemic subsides. So it looks like, you know, Google Workspace is getting some new updates, even, you know, after the pandemic, which is really good, right? And it makes sense too, guys, because, you know, when you're looking at this too, you're looking at where we're going as a society, and working from home and being online all the time and being a part of the digital realm, even after pandemic, things are not going to be as they used to be, right? You know, not everyone's going to need to go to the office at the same time, like at 9 a.m. and at 5 p.m. they leave the office. There could be some workers in positions that are able to freelance and stay home or work at different parts of the world, right? They're not all going at one place, right? So, you know, this this step up and this new features that Google is doing for the workspace is definitely a great step in the right direction, because, you know, even after the pandemic, people are still going to be working from home, right? I mean, you see companies, they don't need to rent out corporate offices anymore, right? If everything could be done, you know, virtually and things of that nature, you know, developing more software on the workspace would be great. So moreover, guys, in a hybrid working model, employees divide their time between the home and office, reaping the rewards of remote working without sacrificing the benefits of face-to-face interaction. However, Google believes this new flexible arrangement will demand a set of tools that is adept at supporting all ways of working at once, right? So this is a very, very great step in the right direction for Google, guys, okay? Bear with me one moment. Moreover, guys, we also have the Apple M1 chip now. So the M1 chip comes to the newest Macs, right? It comes with the newest MacBooks that are out right now. So the Apple M1 chip can now mine Ethereum. But is it worth it? Is it really worth it that the M1 chip can mine Ethereum? I think it's a very, very interesting idea, right? And it's a great step in the right direction. As Ethereum, the cryptocurrency, is becoming bigger, more value is, you know, definitely backed behind it. You know, it makes sense, right? So a software engineer just figured out how to harness the GPU in the Apple M1 chip to mine the cryptocurrency Ethereum. Though whether it's worth the effort is an open question. Yifan Zhu, a software engineer with Zensource, wrote on their blog, "I've had my M1 MacBook Air for a bit of time now, and I also recently started mining Ethereum, right? I can't help asking myself, what's Ethereum mining performance like on an M1 Mac, right? So they explain the process they took to get the Etherminer software used to mine Ether working on an M1 Apple M1 chip, since it takes some work to port the software to Apple Silicon, right? Very, very interesting, guys. Right, so if you want to learn more about this and maybe how you can set up your MacBook, your new MacBook, with the Apple M1 chip to mine Ethereum, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn. You can click into the article and you can learn more there too. All right, more on privacy, right, and security. So this odd malware tricks Google to boost your website's SEO, then it can attack your website, unfortunately. So security researchers have discovered a novel malware delivery mechanism that climbs to the top of any search results after tricking Google's famed SEO, right? So while the Gootkit malware itself has been around for several years and has been analyzed by cybersecurity firm Sophos in the past, it is its new delivery mechanism, which has earned its nickname Gootloader, and it's subject to their recent analysis, right? So Gootloader uses malicious software or malicious search engine optimization techniques to squirm into Google search results, which is unfortunate. So the way it accomplishes this task deserves some discussion, but it centers as much around technology as human psychology as well, guys. So if you guys, again, you're looking to boost your SEO on your website, you are maybe looking at certain type of apps that you come across, and maybe you came across this one called Gootloader, please, guys, be very careful once, you know, establishing this or trying to integrate this with your website. Even though they can probably achieve, you know, this, you know, your Google search engine optimization, and it, you know, interacts with the Google algorithm, guys, eventually it looks like that this app can attack your website too. So be very cautious of this app. It's called Gootloader, and it's spelled G-O-O-T-L-O-A-D-R-A-D-E-R. Goot Loader, and definitely just, guys, be very careful of this, okay? So if you want to learn more about this too, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you guys can learn more. Moreover, guys, Google restarts updates for most of its biggest iOS app, guys, okay? Before we go into this news, guys, the news about Goot Loader before, I just wanted to reiterate, I know that lots of people are trying to, you know, build their online stores and, you know, build their businesses and stuff like that too, and try to be safe, guys. Yes, there are ways in which hackers can, attack your website, right? But that's why it's good to have the best security you can with your website. And don't take it as a sign of, you know, oh, maybe I shouldn't create a website because all of these phishing scams are happening. Trust me, guys, it's, yes, phishing scams can happen, but it's, you know, pretty rare, right? It's not like it's going to happen every day to you. So don't let that demotivate you from actually starting an actual online business or, you know, an internet business. There are security measures you can take in place. There are ways in which you can protect yourself. So don't let this demotivate you to say, hey, you know, all these scams are coming out. You know, Electronic News Network is letting us know. Yes, we're letting you guys know so you can protect yourself. But again, there is still room, you know, to innovate and become a part of the digital realm community and to offer great values and services. So please, guys, this is why we come out to you guys with this information so you can better protect yourself and, you know, keep moving forward, right? So again, guys, Google restarts updates for its most biggest iOS apps, right? So Google appears to be rolling out updates for some of its services on iOS devices after a delay of several months following wrangles over privacy, right? So the company has released updates for services including Gmail, Meet, Sheets, Docs, Calendars, and Tasks for the first time since December 2020, leaving users without some of the most important new additions and features, right? So, however, not all Google apps on iOS have been updated, with Chrome and Google Drive among a selection of services that haven't seen any upgrades in months, guys. So, this is really good, and again, another step in the right direction for Google, where they're rolling out these updates for these iOS devices, right? So, again, they're rolling out these updates, so again, we could all be more securitized, right? And your privacy is more secure and, you know, less prone to hacking, right? So it's great that Google is, not only Google, but also Microsoft is taking these steps in the right directions, so they can definitely protect the greater good, right? So all of their customers that they oversee, all the people that use Google and Microsoft, which is about a lot of not only individuals but businesses. So it's very great that they're taking these steps in the right directions. This is why we like to come out with these updates, so you guys can be notified and definitely adjust accordingly and moving forward, right? All right, guys. Moreover, guys, we also have Instagram's new live rooms feature, right? So this is really cool, guys. Looks like, you know, you can talk to multiple people on Instagram's live feature, which has never been done before. So lets up to four people go live at once, right? So Instagram wants more people to go live at once. So today it's launching live rooms. The feature, which will be available globally, allows four people to video chat in a live broadcast compared to the previous limit of two. Instagram's blog post today says it hopes the features encourages people to start a talk show or even a podcast, right? So that's really, really cool, right? And host a jam session or collaborate with other creators. And as you can see, guys, again, we're all in the digital realm, right? And when I mean digital realm, you know, even when things open up post-COVID, right, we're still going to be living in the digital realm. So it's just going to be a lot more convenient to hop on, say, if you're trying to collab with other team members or, you know, you're you're trying to create or even host a podcast or even a talk show, you're trying to record it from your phone, you know, you can just literally record it from Instagram. Okay. And, you know, you can literally record it from Instagram. And, you know, the funny thing is that you're on Instagram. You know, you're not on maybe like, say, Zoom. That's a little bit more formal. This is Instagram, where Instagram is known to be a little bit less formal, more terms of, you know, pop, hip hop, you know, young culture, right? So this is really cool that this feature is rolling out, and definitely check this out, guys. So if you want to learn more about this too, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can learn more there too. So it looks like iPhone 13 might finally bring a smaller notch and faster screen, right? So Apple's 2021's iPhone might finally have a smaller notch and, for some models, faster refresh rate displays. According to a new note from Apple analyst Ming-Chi Koo, he also shared rumored information about other upcoming iPhones, including when we could see a foldable phone from Apple. Let's start with the iPhone launching this year, which we'll call it the iPhone 13, Koo says. The iPhone 13 lineup will consist of the same models of the iPhone 12, meaning that despite reports of poor sales of the iPhone 12 mini, the smaller phone could still get a refresh this year. So the two iPhone 13 Pro models will also have 120 Hz refresh rate screens thanks to LTPO display technology, according to Koo. Finally, bringing the iPhone on par with many Android flagships' high refresh rate screens. So this is very, very interesting news, and it looks like this is coming from a source too, guys. So, you know, if you're looking to learn more about the iPhone 13, learn more about the refresh rate, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn at Electronic Editions. Click into the article, you can learn more. And this is very interesting too, guys, because, you know, we've talked about other refresh rates too, you know. So we've talked about how, I believe the Oculus Quest 2 is also doing a refresh rate on their device. So Facebook's also doing that too. And that just means it's just going to be better updated, right? Much faster, much more fluid, better display, much more downloading or uploading speeds, and just the user interface, you know, and the user experience is just going to be a lot better, right? And a lot richer. So definitely interesting news on Apple. So go ahead and check this article out as well too, guys. All right, and lastly, we got the commercial EV startup. So Workhorse meeting with USPS about lost mail truck bid, right? So I know we've talked about this before on our previous episodes, but it looks like the USPS, the mail postal service, which a lot of businesses and individuals and a lot of us rely on, looks like they're jumping into the EV space. A lot of tech, a lot of electric vehicles, electronics, right? Commercial EV startup Workhorse will have a face-to-face with the United States Post Office on March 3rd to find out more about the agency's decisions to have defense manufacturer Oshkosh build the new fleet of mail trucks. Workhorse says the last remaining bidder pitching to build an electric, all-electric vehicle, an idea that President Biden supported with an executive order shortly after he took office. So it looks like, yes, the USPS will be rolling out EV, for the entire workforce, all EV vehicles, right? And it makes sense too. Not only are USPS doing it, but it looks like Amazon may be looking to do similar things as well too, guys. I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon starts to do the exact same thing, right? So This will be really cool, guys, especially if you guys are looking to work for the USPS. I know that even years ago, I tried to apply. I could have got it, but I decided to go with another job. But honestly, they get paid lots of good money, guys. If you work for the Postal Service, you're working for that type of agency, you get paid a lot of good money. And, even though, yes, the job is kind of tiring, you're going up and down and dropping off mail, but it looks like you get you're going to get this new, nice electric vehicle, and that could come with lots of perks. Definitely less noisy, less draggy, much more smooth, definitely looking a lot nicer, looking a lot just sexier, right? So this is going to be really nice, guys. So definitely go ahead and, if you want to learn more about this, this collaboration, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more about it too. Moreover, guys, we got Google's new GX sweat patch tests your sweat for smarter hydration. So it looks like Gatorade is coming out with new tech innovations too. So Gatorade is today releasing a new fitness wearable that tests your sweat to let you know how and when to best rehydrate after working out. The GX sweat patch is sold in packages of two for $25 and pairs with Gatorade's GX app to let you efficiently hydrate and hopefully recover faster and avoid cramps in the process. The sweat patch is applied to your left inner arm before a workout and slurps up sweat as you move, funneling the fluid through a color-changing channel on the patch. So after you're done working out, you use the GX app to scan the patch. Gatorade says it's able to offer insights on how much body fluid was lost and how much sodium needs to be replenished, presumably with Gatorade, to recover efficiently. So that is very, very interesting, guys. So it looks like they've already released it as well. So definitely, this was yesterday's news as well, so you can definitely check that out. They're sold in the packages of two for $25, so definitely check that out. If you guys, are working out, you guys want to check it out, definitely do so. Also, guys, if you want to let us know how it works, maybe if you have a video, you can definitely, put your link to the video in the comment section below. And please have it be an official link too. Yeah, guys, honestly, definitely check this new technology out, guys. Looks like Gatorade is stepping up with their tech. Looks like a lot of companies are stepping up. So this is very, very exciting news. All right. So if you want to learn more about this too, please go ahead, follow us on our LinkedIn page and click into the article. All right. So interesting news as well, guys. So what will changing Section 230 mean for the internet, right? So Section 230, which has turned 25 years old this month, has played a central role in shaping the internet, right? So internet roles and laws and regulation. Over the past year, Congress has introduced several proposals to change the law, some of them drastic, but the bills have often focused on a handful of large tech companies like Facebook and Google. In reality, Section 230 has created a lot of the web as we know it as well, guys. So it's very interesting. You can definitely check out the event of Internet Section 230 as well too, guys. You can go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more. All right. So it looks like this event was held yesterday too. So on March 1st, according to this article, we're holding an event on Section 230, the future of tech regulation, after a keynote from Senator Amy Klobuchar. I'll be sitting down with Wikimedia Foundation General Counsel Amanda Kitten, Vimeo General Counsel Michael Chia, and the writer and strategist Sidiot Harry to discuss how changing Section 230 could change the web for a broader sense of its impact. However, I also spoke to a range of companies, nonprofits, legal experts, and others with a stake in preserving or reforming the law. So very, very interesting, guys, right? So Section 230 matters to Patreon every single day because we are a platform that has hundreds and thousands of creators, that has millions of patrons that are communicating with each other and with the creators, right? So, and the creators that are creating new works on a daily basis. If we had proactively take steps to identify and monitor, validate, and verify the content prior posting, it would be incredibly difficult for that platform to exist, guys. So imagine you're posting on YouTube or Vimeo or Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and every time you post, somebody on the other side had to approve that post that you're posting. That would be extremely time consuming, definitely creating more jobs, but ultimately diminishing the actual value of the internet, where you can post anything, anywhere, anytime, right? And I think it's better to keep it that way, posting anywhere, anything, anytime, because it just gives a sense of actual reality, right? Even if it's inappropriate, obviously nobody wants to see a lot of inappropriate things online, right? But, you know, the actual host and the actual platform should definitely have the rights to either, after you post it, leaving the post there, especially if it's appropriate. But if it's extremely inappropriate, say it's really offensive to children, to women, to people, maybe people of ethnicity or people of color, then yes, they have the right to take down that post after you've posted it. But to just be able to every single post, to moderate every single post, that's just ridiculous, right? So very, very interesting, guys. If you want to learn more about this too, guys, how changing Section 230, what will that mean for the internet? Go ahead again, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more there as well, guys. Big news on Apple too, guys. It looks like Apple has reopened all of its U.S. retail stores for the first time in nearly a year. Every Apple store location in the U.S. has reopened as of today, roughly 2 weeks prior to the anniversary of the first store closures due to the coronavirus pandemic that began on March 13, 2020. The news reported by 9to5 Mac this morning coincides with the last of Apple's Texas retail stores reopening on Monday. Apple also confirmed to The Verge that all the 270 U.S. Apple store locations are now open in some capacity for either in-store shopping or online order pickup. So, woo! That is amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing. So definitely check your location. See if the Apple store is opening at your location. Some may start around March 13th. Some have already opened. But definitely, guys, stay excited. Now we can walk around Apple, start using the iPhones again, start listening to Beats on the Beats headphones or the Bose headphones, or maybe Apple AirPods, use a little MacBook, use a little iMac. Definitely really, really cool, guys. So definitely check this out, guys. All right, definitely good news. If you want to learn more about this news as well, please, guys, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more there too. All right, guys, and lastly, it looks like another Apple news, a folding iPhone could be coming in 2023. So rumors about a folding iPhone are nothing new, but analyst Ming-Chi Kuo, who has very strong track record, is weighing in on the information of his own. He says that Apple could be looking to make 2023 launch, and that the phone could have a screen between 7.5 and 8 inches via Mac rumors. Previous rumors have suggested that the screen would be smaller, closer to the size of an iPhone 12 Pro Max. So that would be very, very cool, guys. Very, very interesting. And let us know what you think, what the foldable phone would actually look like on an iPhone. I know I would never imagine an iPhone being foldable, but could it have literally, two screens, kind of like the Surface Duo, Microsoft Surface Duo 2, right? Or could it just have that one screen and fold it, right? Definitely let us know in the comments what you think about this too. Definitely, be willing to, understand where you're coming from. If you want to learn more about this too, guys, go ahead, follow us on LinkedIn, click into the article, and you can definitely learn more there too, guys. All right, guys, but we are running a little bit over time, guys. Hopefully you guys are having a great day. Please, guys, please, please, please don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button to this video. We really appreciate you guys definitely taking the time to listen to us, to